Thank you, Ms. Pat. If you got a Bible, would you grab it and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you're joining us for the first time, we're continuing our series in 2 Corinthians. We're on the home stretch. Got a few more chapters to go. Today's sermon title is called Boasting in the Lord. We've been looking through this book at this letter that Paul wrote to the church that he loved. He wrote a 1 Corinthians to them. They kind of ignored it, wrote another harsh letter, really brought the hammer and kind of made a painful visit. And this church that he loves, they're making some bad decisions. They're living for themselves. So Paul's been trying to remind them of his love, cover some difficult things. And we'll talk some more about that in just a minute. But I want to unpack something before we stand and read our text about what it looks like. I just want to kind of set the table pretty clearly of what it means to boast in the Lord. Boasting in the Lord or boasting in anything, we're not talking about bragging. Sometimes we minimize it. Sometimes as pastors, we're very guilty of just kind of trying to simplify it and saying that, well, boasting is kind of like bragging. But it doesn't make sense when the verse of the day is to boast in the Lord. Doesn't mean you brag in the Lord and say, ha, I've got the Lord. You don't, kind of thing. It doesn't work. But boasting, let me just kind of clarify this. Boasting is, bottom line, what we have confidence in, what we glorify, where our affections are at, what we're satisfied in, what we value, admire, what we glory. That Hebrew word in glory means weightiness or heaviness. It's the thing, hear this, it's the thing that we proclaim that matters and we place value in. Now let me tell you something before. We were sitting there singing, and it just hit me. We're singing the song. All of you is more than enough. I remembered in college when I was Indiana Avenue. It just hit me when I was sitting there. We were singing songs about that. He's enough. You're more than enough for me. You're sufficient. You're all the things. And I remember at a college ministry, I sat down because I realized, and God just kind of hammered me, and I was like, is he really enough? And when we think about boasting, I just want to set the table pretty clearly. We're not talking about bragging. We're talking about finding confidence, security, worth, and value in the Lord. Now, easier said than done. Because what Paul's going to look at is several things. We got a lot to uncover. When we go through a book like this, we don't skip the hard parts. There are some things we got to wade through and not just pull the topic out. We got to wade through a little bit of things here. But Paul is wanting this church to understand that our confidence, our worth, our value is in the Lord. So let's stand together if you don't mind. We'll read 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to go all the way to the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. Paul says, "You are looking on the surface of things or judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority that the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and he speaks as though it's nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters, when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present." Verse 12. "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who are commending themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field that God has assigned us, a field that reaches even to you. We're not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of what work was done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in regions far beyond you. For we do not want to boast about the work already done. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." Let's pray together. If you would, take a deep breath, relax for just a minute. In your own heart, would you, if you be so inclined, would you just ask the Lord to do something great today? And maybe just at the very beginning of this, before the sermon even starts, that you begin to sing songs. And as we've heard, and as I've kind of put it out there already, that we need to see and look as though He is sufficient in all things, that He is enough. And if you're like me, I stand up here as your pastor, there's times in life where I do not treat Him as though He's enough. And songs become difficult to sing. So I just ask in your heart of hearts, before we go through a service and leave out of routine or habit, I pray that you would posture yourselves. Forget about what's after the service. Forget about plans. And just allow yourself to be in a place to receive what He has for you today. If you want to do that, would you just do that? Father, it's a joy to be here. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the privilege to stand before these people and to proclaim your word. I thank you for the work that you're doing. I pray that you've already been in our midst, that we can continue to worship you through your word. Help us, Lord, to be changed by what you have today. I always confess at the end of myself, I can't change anybody today. But I pray that your spirit, for those that desire to receive what you have for them today, that they might receive, be changed, be different, as we look at what it means to boast and to boast in you alone. We ask it in the great name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I think if we're all honest, I think there's times when it's easy to elevate our successes. We sometimes want to minimize our failures, our struggles, our weaknesses. But a couple of questions to kind of get this going, because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk through this text and I'm going to look at two things where Paul's going to show us what it looks like to boast. And then at the end, I'm going to give you three questions. So if you're a note taker, it'll be on the screen. But I want to give you three things for us to kind of test ourselves to see, are we truly boasting in the Lord, all from the text today? So I hope you have your Bibles, hope you have a pen in hand, and we're ready to go. But here's a couple of things to think about. What is it that makes you feel like something and not nothing? Just let that marinate for just a second. What is it that makes you feel like a somebody and not a nobody? What makes you tick? What gets you up in the morning and says, I'm somebody, I feel confident, I am good, I think it's going to be a good day? What is it about it, or what comes to your mind when you think of answering those two questions? Because here's the thing, bottom line, the answer to those questions, church, are you with me? That's your boast. That is what you boast in. What it is that brings you security and confidence, worth and value, all those things when you can, you know, walk upright and you can leave for the day and you can feel confident, you can feel secure, you feel enough, you feel like you're going to be good, you feel valued and worthy. That, church, is your boast. Now, that's convicting, because the truth is that it's not always for me. I don't always wake up in the morning thinking, the Lord, you're enough. You're enough, you're sufficient, because sometimes life happens and I struggle in those moments. Paul wants to remind the church in Corinth what it looks like to boast in the Lord, to have confidence, to have security. And in this text today, he's going to look at a couple of things. Number one, I want to have it for you. He says how we can look and see what we're boasting and what it looks like to boast in the Lord is that we praise God for whatever work He does through us. Look at verse 7. You are judging by appearances, or you're looking on the outward. If anyone is confident that we belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. We have to remember, if you've been with us, I hope you remember this, that there is still a rebellious remnant in that body. There are people out in the congregation, in that church, that are saying, we kind of hate Paul. he's pretty impressive when he writes, but he's pretty much not much to look at. He doesn't really talk very well. These other speakers are better than him. He's a better preacher than Paul. So there's a lot of comparisons, and they're rebelling against Paul. They don't like Paul. And what Paul is saying is that we have to better translate verse 7. He says, we got to look at what is in front of your eyes, and you're questioning me, you're questioning my authority, you're questioning this. And Paul says, at first, we got to look right in front of us. Look, you, just like the letters of recommendation back in the past, he says, friends, you are sons and daughters of God. There is a Corinthian church. You are ambassadors. You are born again followers of Christ that should be impacting others for the kingdom. And as we look at this and we look and say, the work that I do, the life that I live, we praise God for the work that he does in us and through us. And right off the bat, I did this about a month ago, where sometimes we say, well, pastor, that's for you. Paul is an apostle. And you're the pastor. This is for you. But if we remember, every one of us, if you have given your life to Jesus, whether a child or whether a grown-up, we are all in the ministry for the kingdom. And Paul says, Corinthians, you're my boast. God is working in me through you, and you are directly impacted. You are the living proof of my ministry. I can praise the Lord for the work that has been done because I'm looking at it. And in this remnant of rebellion, they're beginning to push back. And we've covered this back in chapter 2, that we are the conquered rebels in this triumphant procession of King Jesus. Chapter 5, that we are ambassadors of the King. Chapter 6, that we are to look a little crazy, distinct, different, unequally yoked, to be set apart. Chapter 7, that we have godly sorrow, that we're truly broken for our sin as we point people to the King. Chapters 8 and 9, that we are to be a generous people. And last week in chapter 10, that we realize that we are at war, spiritual battles every day. So if someone, just like Paul, if someone began to question me or to question you, Christian, about your effectiveness for the King, about his sufficiency for you, what would you point to? What would you boast in? And Paul says, look, there are actual people. This is where it gets applicable for us. Paul says, there are actual people that are changed because of the ministry that Jesus is doing through me. We are all ministers of the gospel. And Paul says, you want to look what it looks like to boast? I can praise him for what he's doing. Boasting in the Lord brings weight and confidence and identity and value and worth because we see what God is doing and we attach glory to him. You see, Paul's dealing with some complaints in verse 8 and 9, and this will kind of make sense as we've been going through this letter. The first complaint against him is that he's been a little too harsh in his letters, that he's been a little too rough, this letter. But look at verse 8. Paul says, so even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority God gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I don't want to seem like I'm trying to frighten you with my letters. Now, we've said this before, and if you're visiting with us for the first time, 2 Corinthians is not the second letter Paul wrote. He wrote another letter. We don't have record of it. I think it's kind of interesting to study that. Maybe they'll find it, maybe they won't. But it must have been a doozy, because Paul hammered them. And they're coming after Paul's character. They're getting a little personal. They're saying that you have authority and you're kind of tough in your letters, and Paul is trying to remind them that the authority God gave me, I'm doing it to build you up, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not trying to tear you down. This is why I boast in the Lord, because it's for your benefit. It's for your good. And the second complaint against him is found in verse 10. We got to weed through this before we get to the meat of the text, because we're covering the whole chapter here. They think Paul's fake, that he writes tough, but in person he is soft, he is weak, and he is utterly unimpressive. Look at verse 10. For some say, and Paul quotes it, imagine writing this in a letter that they've heard about him. His letters are weighty and forceful or strong. But in person, he is weak or unimpressive. And his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters, you're absent, we will be in our actions, we are present. Let me explain that. As a pastor, that would be hard to hear. Can I just throw that out there to you really quick? That'd be hard to hear as a pastor if somebody says, yeah, you're really not much to look at. I'm not anyway, so that's okay. You're really not that good a speaker. You don't really entertain me the way you're supposed to. The church down the street's got someone who's a better communicator than you, and it's a little bit more flashy. They got a bit better lights. They got a smoke machine that comes out. The pastor appears out of nowhere. He swings in on a rope, and he comes in. It's really cool. I've always wanted to appear out of nowhere. That'd be kind of fun. Property grounds, can we cut out a hole and just put a thing? No. But can you feel the weight of Paul here? Do you hear what he's saying? I don't care what your fit, well, I do care what your field is, but imagine if somebody's going after your character. And your letters, you're all tough in your letters, but you're pretty much nothing. You're not even nothing to look at. Your talk amounts really to nothing. And Paul has been compared to these amazing speakers, these Judaizers that have been traveling through with their letters of recommendation about how good they are, selling themselves to these churches, and there's still that remnant in this church that said, Paul, I appreciate that, but you're really not as good as these guys. They think he's a phony and a fake. And that is preaching and teaching. All that he's done, he planted the church, it amounts to nothing. And Paul, I love the week. This makes sense. Verse 11, he says, realize that in our letters, we're going to be just as forceful in our presence. Paul's harsh. He's saying, don't mess with us. We're going to bring it when we come. These people need to realize the purpose of Paul's authority was not to, according to verse 8, it was not to tear them down, it was to build them up. So Paul's boasting in the Lord because of that God affirms and God is working in him, and that God can Paul can look at the church and say they're being built up, they're being changed. Others are built up when we boast in the Lord. Let me say that again. Others are built up when we boast in the Lord. Do you? Do I? When our boast, our confidence, when our security, when our worth, when our value are in the Lord, not concerned about it. We can do and say the hard things, and we can do it without the accolades and the attaboys, because we grow them in the Lord. The second thing is that we don't boast based upon comparisons. Look at verse 12. We do not dare classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves. They are not wise or without understanding. A lot of scholars break this down, and what's taking place here is that there's these Judaizers, and they're basically setting the bar for themselves, and they're comparing themselves by their own standards, so they look pretty good. So I want you to see two things. There is an internal comparison, but also for us in life, there's also an external comparison. These Judaizers or false teachers were really, really good at measuring their ministry based upon their own standards. They begin to commend themselves or brag on themselves or talk about how good they are. Say, hey, Corinthians, we are the ones you need. Not that Paul who's a weakling that left you guys. He wrote that letter. He said those hard words to you. He's all about himself. You don't need him. You need us. But it's easy to look impressive when you are the standard. And anybody who doesn't measure up to that standard that you have set is unimpressive or bad or doesn't fit. Comparison. Here's the rub, church. Comparison is the easiest way you can boast. A long time ago, I did a sermon on the whole sermon on comparisons, and I shared a study by Andy Stanley, this idea of comparisons. He called it the land of Ur. I'm sure you remember it when I preached on it. He called it the land of Ur, and he was talking about how we feel better about ourselves when we look around and we think that we are, he called it the richer. My spouse is cuter. My kids are smarter. They're funnier. I'm thinner. We're healthier, taller, prettier, more talented-er. He made it up. He used different words. But he says, we go through this life and we start erring people. We start looking around and say, I feel valued. I feel worthy because I'm better than them. We start looking at marriages and looking at our kids and our siblings, and we start erring people. But then eventually, church, it's not enough to err people. You know what you start doing? You know what I start doing? We start esting people. We got to be the best. And we start answering this question. That's what Stanley was getting at. We start answering this question, am I okay? And when we boast, remember earlier, what makes you feel like you're something? What makes you feel like you're nothing? What makes you feel like you're worthy? And what Paul is telling us, and this Stanley thing is running, is that we cannot feel worth value because we look at other people. Because we build our identity, our confidence, our boast, when we begin to forge it all by comparisons, you are in trouble. You're not boasting, and I'm not boasting in the Lord when I do that. I'm boasting in myself, and I'm basing it off of my self-worth, value, identity by comparisons, and you end up doing one of two things, maybe both of them. You end up despising other people and their successes. You resent their successes, their kids' successes, their accomplishments, their careers, their kids, their marriages, their financial capabilities. You become a lifelong victim of comparisons, and everything is against you. Or number two, you start to dislike yourself. Because you're not like them. And you start wishing you had their job or their marriage, their kids, their body, their status, all of these things. And all of a sudden, this idea of comparisons, it becomes a real issue. And so it's very easy to try to find worth or value by boasting in things as we look around. And as followers of Christ, our boast, our confidence, our security, our worth, our value is not to be based upon any internal or external comparisons. Those become false measurements. And the three things I want to give you, if you're to write this down, as we get to the last part of the text, verses 13 through 18, there are three questions. I was studying this. I looked at Warren Wiersbe's book called Be Encouraged. It was a commentary on this book. And I loved what he said, so I basically pulled it out because I thought these three questions were very good. If you're a note taker, write these things down, if you don't mind. The three questions we can ask ourselves and test and see, are we boasting in the Lord? Is number one, am I where God wants me to be? 13 through 14, he says this. When, however, we will not boast beyond our proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God has himself assigned us to be. And then a little bit of irony here, a sphere that also includes you, Corinthians. We're not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Paul uses a little bit of sarcasm in verse 13. He says, we serve the Lord. And he looks around and he says, we value this as where God has assigned us to be. Now, I can't tell how many conversations I've had when people begin to look around and say, I wish I had that. I wish I could do what they're doing. I wish I could look like them. I wish my kids could do what their kids do. I wish I could do this. And all of these things, and there's such insecurity and such boasting and such external things. And Paul says, number one, in these questions that we're looking at, am I where God wants me to be? Do we trust the sovereign Lord that he's placed us right where we're at, that we can bloom where we're planted, that we can do ministry as a son or a daughter of the king, and we are confident and secure that God will place us and put us where we're at? Some of you today, church, hear this. Some of us today, we begin to look at this, and God might reveal to you that you are not where you need to be. And some of us, it may be revealed that there's some insecurities or lack of clarity and say, you don't know. I don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be. Maybe it's a profession or a status or situation in life, and looking at uncertainty. We need to test it by the Word, trust the Spirit, ask the Lord for clarity, and until then, we serve, we work, and we live faithfully where we're at. The second thing found in verses 15 through 16, is God glorified in my ministry? Verse 15, neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will expand so that we can preach the gospel in regions beyond you. For we don't want to boast about work that's already done. What's taking place of these false teachers, they're coming in and they're taking credit. It'd be like we have a bunch of baptisms and things like that, and then I decide to leave or Josh leaves, and God's doing a lot of really good things, and then somebody comes in next and has nothing to do with this. The Lord's doing all of this, and some speaker wants to come in and say, yeah, look what I've done. Look at all these things that the Lord's doing since I arrived. And Paul's like saying, we don't need to take credit for this. It's about the Lord getting glorified and the Lord being. See, Paul refused to take credit for the work of others. These false teachers were all about that. And as our faith grows, as we impact others in our ministry, we do not become false peddlers of this gospel that really kind of boost ourselves up. Security needs that. It's different. The third thing, if you're writing notes down, the third thing is, can the Lord commend my work? Look at verse 17 through 18. The theme verse is verse 17. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Verse 17, Paul paraphrases Jeremiah chapter 9. In order to emphasize this whole thing, he knew they were treading on shaky ground. He knew that these folks in this church, they were treading on some very, very thin ice. And in verse 18, the word approved speaks of a future testing, speaks of an opportunity that we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account. And the only thing that matters, if you hear nothing else, the only thing that matters is what the Lord thinks. Parents, how many times have you told your kids when somebody says something to them at school and they come home and they say something about me and you try to remind them? It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what somebody says. You know, you probably have those conversations. This is the urgency that Paul's bringing here. He's saying, church, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what others think or what others say that your identity or what gives you confidence or false security or false hopes of trying to be the best mom out there. And if you're not the best mom, if you're not this blog mom and posting all these things and doing all these things that every fantastic mom and setting the standard that nobody can attain and you feel unworthy, you feel like you're not good, fair. It's garbage. Doesn't matter. You bloom or you're planted. Can the Lord Jesus Christ commend your work? Because we're all going to stand before the King someday and give an account. The only thing that matters is what he thinks. See, friends, that is so easy to say. It is so easy to preach on the stage. But when life presses in, can I confess something to you? I'm probably the only one in the room. I struggle with this. You know why? Because I care what you think. And you're thinking, okay. It matters what others think about me. It matters of other people's opinions. It's a struggle. And maybe I'm the only one who sees this because I need to hear this sermon this morning because I need to understand that it doesn't matter what others, quote, think of you. It matters that you're going to stand before and give an account for the Lord as one who is approved. And that's the one, church, who the Lord commends. The bottom line in this text here is that boasting in the Lord happens when we realize what he thinks, his commendation, is what matters the most. And what happens from that, friends, is we become content. We become satisfied. That's our boast. That is our confidence. That is our security. That is our identity. That is our worth and our value. It comes as a child of God in all the peripherals. That's not what determines us. And I don't care if I feel maybe like a failure as a dad or a failure as a parent or a failure as a pastor or I'm not as good as somebody else and all these things that Satan wants to try to throw at me, I can just push all that away and I said, I need to do the Lord commending work. Is the Lord in this? The Lord approving what I'm doing? Because he's the one I got to stand before. And even in ministry, it's so simple sometimes, and we can look at this and try to judge and base things. But the Lord hit me with something in Luke chapter 10. Let me just kind of share something with you real quick. As I was studying, Luke chapter 10 jumped out at me, and Jesus is with the 72, and he sends them out, and they're casting out demons, and they're doing ministry, and they're doing all of these things, and they're rejoicing, and they're glorious, and they're having a great time for all the Lord is doing. But in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, it'll be on the screen. Look at what Jesus said to them. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. But look what he says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In the midst of this ministry, you know what Jesus brings it back to? That's great, but that's not what makes it matter. Pastor, it's not about baptisms, it's not about salvation, it's not about anything you bring to the table. What matters for you, dad, pastor, husband, all of these things, is that you're a child of God. You are redeemed and you're saved. And that's what overflows in everything. Jesus basically says, rejoice that you belong to me. Boast in this. Your eternity is secure in what I have accomplished for you at Calvary. That is your boast. That is your glory. That is where your value, your identity, your worth is truly found. And again, I bring the question back from the very beginning as I begin to close this. Church, where is your boast today? And the question I want every one of us to kind of wrestle with is, as we're about to leave and we're going to go back out and all you husbands are going to cook or take your wives out to go eat dinner, right? Or lunch? Set up to fail there. Some people got elbowed just now. Just kidding. Can I ask you a serious question before we leave? When you're about to get up and leave this place and go do whatever your day is going to be like, praise God for that. When you get up and you walk out of this service today, what is it that's going to allow you, look at me, church, what is it that's going to allow you to lift your head up high? What is it that's going to allow you to go, I'm all right, it's going to be okay? Because here's the thing, on this Mother's Day, if you're trying to hold yourself up, say, I got to be the best mom ever, newsflash, you're probably going to do something you should have done better. If it's I've got to have all of these things, and what's the answer to this question? Because I wrote some notes down, because there's times when we are not okay with just being a child of God, the answer to that question of what you're going to hold your head up and you're going to walk out of here feeling secure and worthy, is it because you think you're smarter? Is it because you feel prettier than others? Is it because you're a nice person? Is it because you feel like you feel good about your body image? Is it because you feel like you're in a good financial situation? Because you feel talented? You feel like you're the best athlete? You feel like you're the super smart? You've got the best grades? You got a lot of friends? You feel like a great mom? At least you're better than that mom. Maybe you relish and you think, I can hold my head up high because my kids are successful. And the list can go on, but if we're not careful, all of those things become wedges in our boasting. We're not boasting. We're not confident. We are not secure in Christ alone and all the things that He is enough, that He is sufficient. It becomes three words that this morning on my couch when I was wrestling my almost two-year-old. You know what hit me this morning? Three things come up. Am I boasting in the Lord? Three words. As long as. That hit me this morning. God, you're enough as long as we're healthy. As long as my kids are the best. As long as my kids have the best grades. As long as my finances are good. As long as fill in the blank. And you know it in your heart of hearts, every one of us that's online or here today. You know what that fill in the blank is. You know when you fill that blank in and you can hold your head high and you can do whatever this is, whatever that means. You can hope, you know, feel confident and secure. And it has nothing to do with Jesus. It has become something peripheral that you have boasted in. And that is where I really want you to wrestle today. If you hear nothing else today, when it comes to boasting, when it comes to our worth and our value, our confidence, oh, may we test our hearts. Because just like those comparisons, we're going to look around and there's going to be someone better, smarter, prettier, taller, faster, richer, all of these things. And the enemy wants to creep in and make you feel insecure, makes you want to feel unworthy, makes you want to feel like you're nothing. And my prayer today, and I'm done, are we at peace with ourselves because God is at peace with you? Our boast is in the Lord through our faith in Christ. He commends me. Does your life, our ministry, and our boasting reflect that we care more about what He thinks than what the world thinks? And may each of us, beginning with me, may each of us test our hearts to see if we are truly, that our identity is secure, and we can identify with Paul's words in verse 17. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Let's pray together. If you would, just take a deep breath for a minute before we stand and sing the last song. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want you to relax for just a minute. Let that question I gave earlier, what makes you feel confident, what makes you feel valuable, secure? Maybe some are really caught up in that as long as those things are panning out, God, we're good. I'm good. Would you just spend some time with the Lord? Let Him speak to you. What does your boasting look like? You pray, then we're going to stand and we're going to sing. Father, we thank You for the day. And Father, if there's anybody that is like me, that I struggle sometimes to truly boast in You, I allow other things to really matter when they shouldn't. I allow other things, other secondary things, to become utmost. God, and I confess that. And I hope if there's anybody else today that is there as well, that we can confess our need to hold You as dear and utmost in all things. And to not believe the lies, to not believe anything else that's out there that wants to try to dissuade us or persuade us from You. I lift up all the moms, Lord, here today. In that ministry, in that area, that they have confidence and worth as one that is committed by You. Not what the world wants to try to tell them to be. God, for the young one out there, for the child or for the teenager that is desperately trying to just please everybody. Trying to figure things out of what their confidence, what their security is. God, I pray from the youngest to the oldest, I pray that we can understand what it truly means to have worth and value and boasting in you. And to feel secure, to feel confident, to feel overwhelmed by you and not feel like we got to give ourselves to everybody else. What freedom there is in that. What joy there is in that. And when the enemy wants to creep in and try to lie to us and tell us we're not good, we're not enough, we are not this, may we look to you and be secure in that. We thank you above all for the cross. We thank you for your blood. We thank you that we are redeemed and rescued by you. And we can celebrate that today. That as your sons and as your daughters, we can walk out of this sanctuary after we sing with our heads held high, not because we got to attain anything or maintain anything, because we belong to you. That's enough. So we thank you and we praise you. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing.